The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, July 24th, 2011. For those of you listening live, and obviously not if you're listening to the recording, welcome one and all. And today I am going to continue what I did last week, which is having me as my own guest, giving a little bit more of the story of how I got to where I am, and specifically the question, or one of the questions that I'm asked a ton, which is, how did I become a channel? Is this something I've always done? No, it's not something I've always done. I was sensitive as a kid, but I certainly was not a conscious channel, at least not that I can remember. And if I was, it happened pretty much as I was learning to speak, and so it went away pretty quickly, if it was there at all. But I, as usual, will start today by opening up all of us to a greater sense of community, a greater sense of connection. So to start with, the first level, everybody, if you'll just breathe in and consciously choose to open to all those of us who are connected here, participating, listening to this show here today, and allow yourself to breathe into that energy of that community, including all those listening through the recording, because time is really irrelevant, and anyone listening to this is listening to it in now for them. So let yourself open up to that expanded audience, not just those live, but everyone listening to this show, and breathe into that. And feel that community, that sense of openness and support. And the next level then that we open into, and once more with the breath, is to connect consciously down into and with our Mother Earth. And just allow yourself to breathe down into her, and don't forget to breathe her up into you. And feel that partnership that we each have with her. She is where we came from. Without her, humanity wouldn't be able to exist in a physical dimension. And so this is a core that allows us to be here and that always actively supports us to be here. And so really breathe into that support that she feeds to you, to us, in every moment. And open up again to expand and connect and receive from all of the guides, the angels, the ascended masters, the teachers, the beings of light, the spiritual hierarchy that are around us, supporting us individually and collectively as we walk on this path of self-empowerment and awakening. And breathe in and let yourself feel that support, feel that community there. That energy is so strong and so consistent. when I'm doing the invocations, I always ask for their presence, but it's always a reminder for me and the person or the people I'm working with to notice the presence that's already there. They're never gone. They're around us. They're with us. They're supporting us 24/7, as they say. And so let yourself feel that. Expand your awareness in this moment of that presence and that support. Good. And then the last layer that we consciously open into each one of these shows is out to the community of all the light workers who are in body on the planet at this time. All those others who are making the choices day by day, moment by moment, toward their own empowerment, toward their healing, toward their awakening. And in doing so, are helping each of us to clear the path forward, making it easier, making it smoother. And so allow yourself to breathe into that level of support, because we are all here together. We are here as a team. And on the other dimensions, we're rooting ourselves on. And on the other dimensions, we know the other light workers out there. Even if we have never met them here in body, we know who they are. And we can connect with their presence. And so breathe into that. Open into that. Good. Thank you. And so on we go. And I'm going to start with a little bit of overlap. And I want to start where I ended last week, which was me going into massage school and doing that while I was finishing my master's degree in theater. Not necessarily something I would advise for anyone to be writing a 500-page thesis while you're in massage school at the same time. But intensity is often a doorway for expansion. And it was an extremely intense time in my life. And I was stepping forward, and finishing that thesis, finishing that degree was a huge step for me. I had gotten sidetracked, and as I was stepping onto this path of healing consciously and providing healing in some way or another that I've been walking ever since, I needed to finish up some of that old stuff, some of that academic stuff, some of that stuff from what might be the traditional view of how to find success in this world at this time. You go to school, you get your degree, you get your job, etc. And so I needed to finish that degree and get through with it. But it was an extremely intense time. And in that intensity, I was tossed in to massage school by choice. By choice, very much by choice. And I found my home. We did the first 100 hours of training in 12 days, one of the most intense periods, of my life. And within the midst of that, somewhere in that, I was working on someone practicing the massage techniques and had that several minute long surge of energy, surge of knowing, all body chills, and the awareness that I was exactly doing the perfect thing for me in that moment. And it was really the first time in my life I had ever felt that way, and it was incredible. It was incredible. And when I talk about it, I still get chills from it. And it continued. It was a great blessing that this particular massage school, we were the first class within the school, and it wasn't just massage. It wasn't just the physical manipulation of the muscles. We had multiple different kinds of modalities being taught to us as a taste so that we would have a sense. So we had people who came in and who did specific types of work. For instance, some of the deep tissue work, like the Rolfing that I mentioned last week that I went through. We had people that came in and taught multiple modalities, or aspects at least of multiple modalities of hands-on healing, energetic healing work. We actually went through group therapy together to help clear out issues, clear out old energetic patterns. I mentioned last week the spontaneous regression that I had, in particular back to being molested, but I started experiencing multiple spontaneous regressions, not to that. I don't even know that all of them, in fact, I'm pretty sure most of them were not even from this lifetime, but I was going back into old experiences, having them come up energetically, but having them come up physically. I was actually experiencing them physically in the cells, in the muscles, in how I was, in the emotional body, how I was feeling, and I was doing this tremendous purging in an ongoing way, and that just added to the intensity that was taking place then. And, well, I had that knowing of doing exactly the right thing right then, and that continued. Not far into the program when we had the first teacher come in to work with hands-on energy healing. And this was not one of the known ones. It wasn't Reiki or something like that. It was her own creation, her own adaptation, her own exploration of how to work with energies. And she started teaching this and we were practicing it. And these segments lasted for a weekend. We had the person come in on Friday evening and they were there all day Saturday and all day Sunday. And the same thing happened. In this, it felt extremely natural. It felt automatic. I could do it from the first. There was never any doubt in me that this was the right thing. And then I had another one of those surges of energy that said, yes, this is the confirmation. This is the right thing for you to be doing. And I knew that once I got out of massage school, yes, I would do massage, but my focus was going to be getting as much training as I possibly could and moving as quickly as I could to doing the hands-on healing work, that was an even deeper level of doing the right thing. And it was clear as a bell. There was no doubt in my mind that that was going to happen. And it continued with each segment, each of the other teachers. We had someone come in who worked with a more Chinese medicine based sort of hands-on healing called Shiatsu, which is also hands-on the physical body in a way that's manipulating the body, but its purpose is to move the energy. We had other training as well that went into that category, and I started seeking it out outside of the massage school as well once I was done with the thesis, which was about halfway through the school. I was able to start looking for other trainings and things. So one of the things for me that this is about is listening to that inner knowing and taking that next step. I knew that the theater degree, while it served me to get it, was not going to be a quick career or necessarily even the right thing, which is why I went into massage school in the first place. And I followed that path. Yes, the massage was wonderful, and it was a step toward the next thing, and that was the energy work. And so I focused there, and it was very interesting how things would come forward. I went to a training. Some of you might know the name Barbara Brennan, and I went to a training. She runs a school, or at least used to. I'm not sure if she still does. She has a couple of books that are quite quite good. First one is called Hands of Light, I believe. And one of her teachers, one of the people who taught in her academy or her school, lived in Kansas City. So I got connected up with him through a friend and went up and took some training with him. The first one of these that I went to, and again, we're practicing some basic energetic exercises, just kind of, for those who've done any of this sort of thing, just kind of feeling the energy moving from your hand to another person's hand and feeling that pulsing back and forth. And I was working with someone I'd never met before. It was a pretty large group, this particular group. I don't know, probably 50, 60, maybe more people there. And at the end of it, she came to me and she said, just the basic exercise, which we did fine, but she said, oh, so you do Reiki. And at that point, I was scheduled the next weekend to go do the first level of Reiki training. And, you know, I thought that was really interesting. One of the things that I've discovered along the way, and I think is true for a lot of light workers out there, is that we go to get these trainings not to learn it, but to give ourselves permission to know it. This was very strong confirmation. This woman had been doing Reiki for years. She was a Reiki master. She taught Reiki to people. And in her perception, I was already running Reiki energy through my system. And you know, essentially she thought I was at the Reiki master level already. And I had yet to do the training. And I believe it's true. I was actually running that energy. But in this lifetime, I didn't have the conscious awareness of how to do it. And so I was going to the training not to get the energy, but to learn how and to give myself the permission. So that was a key mental piece for me. And I believe that's true for a lot of people on this path. We'll hear something and we'll know that it's true, as if we had already been trained in it, as if we had already been taught it. And I hear that all the time. Well, you know, yeah, you said this on the radio, and I knew that. And it's not that it was in our conscious mind already, but that's what we're doing, is we're remembering who we are. We're remembering higher dimensional levels of ourselves. And it's important to recognize that, because that's another place where I believe a lot of us shortchange ourselves, because we hear something and we go, oh, I know that already. And yet it is a new piece that we're awakening. It's a new level of awareness. Another thing that happens quite commonly is people will have a session and they'll go back and listen to it multiple times. And each time they listen to it, it's the same words, but they hear something different. Why? Because as we walk on the path, our own understanding deepens, and truth is in levels. We receive it to the degree that we can receive it. As we expand our wiggle room, as we expand that which we actually own, things that are true, that are in our wiggle room, we start to recognize, oh, yeah, that is true. And that's as we're claiming it, as we're taking it out of the wiggle room and into what we own. And that expands our wiggle room. And so there become more concepts and things that are already ours. Truth is truth. Truth is what it is. It exists. And our job is not to create it, but to allow ourselves to remember it. And so that has been a key for me on this path, that of saying yes to the next thing, whatever the next thing might be. And I know another one of the pieces that I'm here to work with people on is the energy of trust. And I will hopefully get to a couple of major pieces related to that during this show. But that trust is about when you have the knowing, when that knowing comes up, even if it's not as strong as it was in massage school or when I started doing the energy work for me, there have been lots of things that have had much less knowingness, much less energy, and yet I knew them to be true, and so I said yes to them. And that opens doors. That is one of the key things that I can say to anybody who wants to truly step into their power, is say yes to the opportunities, say yes to the things that you resonate with, say yes to, and we'll get to this as well, groups and pilgrimage. Both of those things. You know, it was incredibly empowering to go through massage school, partly because it was a group. Each of these classes that I went to take to study energy work, in a group setting, something magical happens. There is an amplification. That's a part of why at the beginning of these shows, I open up to connect us all as a group much more consciously than just a bunch of individuals sitting in scattered locations around the world listening. As we connect up in a group, more can happen than as we're doing it individually or just one-on-one. And that's not to say one-on-one work is bad. It's not at all. But group energy does something magically delicious, and allows us to move forward that much more quickly, because we individually don't have to hold as much energy. In the group, collectively, we can hold a lot more energy than any one or two of us can. And that makes it easier for us to receive that energy, because we're not doing or expending our own energy just to try and hold the space open. And so it's easier to relax into what's being offered and to allow that to come into our experience that much more deeply. Now, let's do a little bit of, I won't call it fast forwarding, but it's movement through time here. So I get out of massage school, and while I'm finishing massage school, I spent 1 year after I got my degree teaching at the university level as a per course instructor, which is also something I don't necessarily recommend to people. I was made aware sometime during that time that I was actually making less money than I was as a graduate assistant. Plus, I wasn't getting the free classes on top of it. So, when the end of that time came, I graduated from massage school in November of 94. May of 95, it was the end of that teaching, the end of that year of teaching as a per course instructor. And I had a choice. And the choice was, do I simply step out as a massage therapist and as a healer, or do I go get a part-time job and do that on the side? It's, in some ways, it was the question of, you know, what I was not willing to do with the theater was just go and do it. I wasn't that committed. I wasn't ready. And so here it was again. Am I going to go get a job to support myself on the side while I do the healing work, while I build the practice? Well, thankfully, as a per course instructor, and even as a graduate assistant, I had been living fairly close to the poverty level, which was, you know, fine. But there was a huge benefit in stepping into this path that most people don't have. And this benefit of being at that poverty level is I really did not need to make a lot of money doing massage to be making the same amount I was making when I was teaching. And so here we go again. This is back to that trust. This is back to that saying yes. I realized, and I don't know where this knowing came from, it was just there, that if I stepped out and paid attention to the fear that said I was not going to make enough money doing the healing work, I need to go get a job waiting tables or doing something, that was going to get in the way of what I was able to do and what I was able to offer. And so I said, all right, I'm going to step off the cliff. And I'm always reminded of, I think it's the third Indiana Jones movie when they're going after the chalice, and he steps off the cliff onto the bridge, but you can't see the bridge. You just have to step off. And there's a, I don't know, I want to say it's a cliche, maybe it's not, but it's a statement, and it's about faith. Although I prefer the word trust to faith, and I may explain that later, or I may forget. But anyway, it's faith is when you come to the cliff, it's willingness to step off, recognizing that you'll either be caught or that you'll learn to fly. And again, that is the biggest piece of this path, as far as I'm concerned, is learning to trust in yourself, in ourselves, and in what we're doing. And I had to do it. I really didn't have a choice. It was a compulsion to just step off and say, okay, this is what I do. This is how I'm defining myself. I am a massage therapist. I am a healer. I do energy therapy. And okay, let me take a sidestep here for just a moment, pull out of the story, and then actually give a little extra message here. This is one of the places where it's extremely difficult for a lot of people to do, because they have had a 9-to-5 job. They've had this life where they've had a certain standard of living, and they get to the place where they have a spiritual awakening and they want to do healing work or psychic work or spiritual work or whatever the aspect might be that they feel called to do. But as much as you may be guided to do that, as much as we have been guided to do this and step into our path, there, it's not necessarily an automatic thing. I'll put it this way. It's not necessarily an automatic thing that just because you're guided to do something that you are going to immediately have this audience show up that is clamoring for what you're offering and is going to get you, you know, in 1 month doing your job, doing your spiritual work, in 1 month you're going to replace the income that you used to have doing the 9-to-5 job. And that's the leap that so many people find really hard to do. And I'm not saying that you need to quit your job and commit to this other work full time if you're going to do it. What I'm saying is recognize that that gulf is there. And if you're going to do it in a way that is smart as much as you possibly can. Take care of yourself. Do it in a way that, well, it may still make you gulp, doesn't make you quake in fear. Because if you're doing it in that energy of the fear, it's not going to happen. And it's important to understand that even though the spiritual work and the healing work is important, different people view it as important to different degrees. I know for me, very, very bizarre story from one perspective. Before I went into massage school, I had never actually received a massage. I had received Rolfing. I had received body work. And it was transformational. But I had never received just a standard massage. It wasn't in my program that that was something to do. Now, this is the mid-90s, and massage was, you know, 10 years behind chiropractic maybe. And this was the Midwest. So it wasn't like, you know, perhaps in California and on the East Coast where massage was already an accepted thing that was going to help you in your life, and people did that. In Missouri, in Southwest Missouri, on the buckle of the Bible Belt where I was living, massage meant massage parlor, and that had other meanings to it. That was about happy endings. That was not about happy muscles. And so, you know, it was stepping into something on trust that, yes, it really did expand, and now there's massage therapists everywhere. But at that point in time, it wasn't that way in that location. And so I said that yes, even though I had never received the direct benefit of having a massage. I knew body work was valuable, and I knew in certain locations massage was very much growing. But I stepped into it because the inner knowing said to. Okay. So let's turn the car around here. And I went through multiple trainings. I was taking every training that I possibly could. Met a lot of wonderful people in that time frame. And, you know, much of the stuff I did locally. Got to Reiki Master, got to Reiki Teacher, got to a number of other things that you wouldn't know because they don't have that kind of name recognition to them. And again, things were coming to me, or they were known by me. I just knew them. And so I started teaching. One of the first things I started teaching was a workshop that started as stress management, and that's the end of it that it started at. It started as a very physiological, physically based, emotionally based, body-mind based sort of a thing, but over the course of, well, it depended. The short version, I think, was maybe 8 hours. Over the course of the 8 hours, we went from that to looking at and experiencing direct movement of energy and working with manifesting through energy and things like that. And it was very step by step and very logical, and it was a wonderful tool to get my name out there again in the local area. Now, I also, one of my classmates from massage school called me up, and it was after we had graduated, and he got me going to this meditation group. Now, I won't call it a confession because there's nothing wrong with this, but I'm not a regular meditator the way a lot of people are. I know that every time I go in to do channeling, I am I am going into the meditative state. So I do get into that state of energy on a regular basis, but I don't do it necessarily on a daily basis where I sit down for 15 minutes to meditate. One of the benefits of channeling. But at that point, you know, I was exploring all these options. And so I went there. And it was a very interesting group. The woman who was leading it, she wasn't just, we were doing a group meditation, but before the meditation every week, we were doing pendulum dowsing. For those who don't know what that is, dowsing is, well, some people think of it as water witching, and that's one of the tools, one of the ways you can do it is to go find where there's water underground to dig a well. But another way you can do it is by using a pendulum. And a pendulum essentially is anything on a string. Anything that has some weight to it on a string. You can use a necklace which has something on it, etc. And you can ask questions. And it is a way to tune in to guidance from spirit, your own spirit, etc. And it was an incredibly fun thing to do. And I found that I was very good at it. Very quickly I found that out. And what she would do is she would talk about some metaphysical concept for 10 or 15 minutes, and then we would use that topic as the source of questions to ask and do the dowsing with the pendulum to get the answers. And so we would do that, and that was actually where I did find out I was a walk-in. For those of you who heard the walk-in show, I think I mentioned it then. Or for those of you who might be interested in going to the group this October, that's how I found out originally. One of the questions that she put forth to the group was, are there any walk-ins here? If so, who and how many and who? And everyone in the group, myself included, and I think there were 8 or 10 of us there that night, we all agreed that I was the walk-in in the group. And, okay, that knowledge was there. That will come in handy in a little bit when I get to one of the next parts of the story. Now, this particular group also led me to some other things. As we went on, I think I started going to the group maybe in January or February. And by late spring, the group was smaller, and the leader of the group had gotten this guidance that we were, as a group, to go on this pilgrimage out to the Tetons, the Teton Mountain Range, one of my favorite places on the planet. Incredible energy there, incredible power. For those of you who've read any of the I Am Presence books, channeled by Saint Germain, there's incredibly powerful energy there. But we were going to go on this trip, and so I think there were 5 or 6 of us at first who were committed to that. And as the summer went on, another person would drop, and another person would drop, and another person would drop, until it got close to the time. We were in August, and it was just down to she and I as the two who were going to go. And I was still, I mean, I was paying the bills and things, but I didn't have extra money to rub together. And it was very interesting. During that time, I was learning discernment, again, which is something that's vitally important for anyone walking this path or reading anything about this or taking a training or listening to a channeling or listening to this radio show. I was learning discernment because she was a very well-intentioned person. But she was also very dogmatic. She had her truth, and she would go douse on something, and anything, and then she would come and tell you how it was, how it was, how it was, what was true for you. And that's a dangerous place, a very dangerous place. And as we went through time, as I went to this week after week, I was learning internally to just say no. Nope, that's not my truth. Nope, it's not my truth. Cancel, cancel, cancel. And I was choosing to do something that I really hadn't done much in my life before, which was set internal boundaries with what other people were presenting to me. It's not that I'd never done it, but this was on a whole nother level. And it was interesting. It got down to time. I mean, again, my trust, even though I didn't have the money, and a couple other people dropped out because they didn't have the money, my trust said I was going. So I just kept planning as if. And move forward, get close to the time, probably 2 weeks away, she came to me and she said, I've been guided to make a deal with you that if you're willing to take care of all the money and, you know, deal with the reservations and pay for things along the way, I will pay the way for you to go. It's like, that sounds like a deal to me. I can handle that. And so we did. And much of the time we were actually going to be camping, but there were stops along the way. And we got out to the Tetons. Well, actually, I'll take one step before that. We got to Estes Park in Colorado. Beautiful place that we were staying right on a little stream, not inside the park, but on the way up into it. And this thing came on the radio, or maybe it was on the TV, I'm not sure which. And it was about, I think, a hurricane down somewhere in the Caribbean. And this was an amplification of that discernment and the setting of the boundaries, which are incredibly important on this path. And she heard that and she said, we have to do something. We have to fix this. We have to stop this hurricane from killing all these people or whatever. And I looked at her and I said, no, we don't. That's not my guidance. It's not my job to go fix everything going on in the world. No one from the Caribbean has sent me a message saying, please help out with this. However, if that's your guidance, that you feel called to do some work with the weather and see if you can do anything to help there, and you're asking me to help you, that I will do. And the ironic thing was, even though in some ways the results would have been the same, both of us working to help change the weather, she refused. If I wasn't going to do it because she told me it was what was right for me, then it wasn't good enough. And again, I learned an extremely valuable lesson there in setting that boundary. That, well, a couple of them. One, I mean, I already knew this, but it was a confirmation and it was very experiential. I'm not here to try and fix everything on the planet. I'm not here to be the savior, and neither are you. And if there are particular things out there planetarily that are going on that we feel called to do something about, then by all means, see what you can do. But anyone trying to save the world or trying to be that kind of martyr, sacrificing their own time and energy to fix things that are not directly their concern, are in for some trouble. Anyway, I'll continue on. We got to the Tetons and we're doing a variety of things. And one of the things that she wanted to do, or got the guidance to do, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. She said that at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock some morning, we needed to get up and go outside and we were going to see the ships. The UFOs, she meant. All those in ships who are here to support the planet. Not that we would see all the ships, but there were going to be some that were going to make themselves known. And this is in September in Yellowstone. And after the sun goes down, it was at freezing. And we're in a tent. So it's cold anyway. So yeah, I agree. Okay, I'll get up and do this. I get up. I go outside. I look up. Not a ship in sight. I immediately go back into the tent and go back to sleep. And she got hacked. Because I wasn't choosing to participate. That's why we hadn't made contact with the ships. I don't know if she thought they were going to come down and pick us up or what, but it hadn't worked because I wasn't doing what she wanted me to do. Well, I had. I got up, but they weren't there. They didn't show up. They didn't carry out their end of the deal. So I was done. Set a boundary with spirit as well. And that's another important thing. Just because you receive what you think is the guidance from spirit, you need to use your discernment on it, even if it's coming through you. Because often our own shoulds, our own beliefs about what is the right thing versus the wrong thing will color the information that we get. So this was another really huge thing for me. And, well, I'll put it this way. She had a hidden agenda on this journey. She was going to go out there, and she and I were going to find some property and settle down together and do energy work and everything else. Well, this is someone I was not dating. I had no interest in dating. But that was her plan. That was her belief. And it started to come out directly when she said something along the lines of, you know, in the future, age is not going to matter when it comes to partnership at all. It's, and this is someone who was easily old enough to be my mother, if not my grandmother, which in and of itself, age is irrelevant, I believe. But, there wasn't any of that energy there from my side of things. And I think she was getting very frustrated with me setting boundaries and not going along with her agenda, not only in that way, but in these other ways as well. So one day we're driving from the Tetons into Yellowstone or vice versa. And when I am unhappy, I tend to get very quiet. When I'm not feeling like I want to be doing what I'm doing, I get very quiet. And so we're driving and she comes out with, and this was one of the most beneficial things anyone has ever said to me. She said, I wish that you would get happy so I could be happy. Oh my God, as they say. I don't know if it was respectful or not, but I tore her a new one, so to speak. I said, I'm not responsible for your happiness. For those of you who remember last week, when I got that message from Mary that I was responsible for my own happiness, I realized that that extended out to others. But because she said that, I was able to set a boundary. And I was able to say, I'm not responsible for your happiness. You're responsible for your own happiness. I'm taking care of me. You take care of you. And of course, you know, she needed to pull over on the side of the road and do the dowsing to figure out what the hell just happened, what went wrong with her plans, what was going wrong with her plans. Meanwhile, I am walking around. We pulled over next to this lake. I go down the hill to the lake. I'm walking around down there, and I am elated. And it was setting the boundary, being able to make that statement. I had cut these energetic cords that she was vampiring energy from me, because one of the patterns that I have run is I tend to give energy to other people. If they need it, I give it. If they need it, I give it. And it drains me. And that actually was what had gotten me to be so quiet in the first place, because I just didn't have my normal energy. But it was huge to be able to set that boundary with another person that directly. And I will be eternally grateful that she actually said that. But it's an important piece as well when it comes to walking this path, is that from an energetic standpoint, we have to make our own choices. It's our responsibility. And any time we give that away, we're not doing the other person a favor, and we're not doing ourselves a favor. If we just are letting them take our energy, it's not doing them any good, and it's not doing us any good. And so that was another huge, huge breakthrough. And I'll just add one last piece to that one, because this was, I guess, truly my first spiritual pilgrimage that I went on. And it was incredible for many reasons, but these were some of the most potent ones. But after we returned from the trip, and she decided that the meditation group was now dissolving and needed to take a hiatus, etc., I didn't speak to her for a couple of weeks. And I had some books that I needed to return that I had borrowed from her. So I went over one day to do that. And I was met with a really interesting comment. You know, I handed her the books, and she said, well, I figured out why we didn't end up together. And I said, oh, really? And she said, yeah, because you weren't doing what you were supposed to be doing. You had a walk-in out there in the Tetons. They replaced you. And so I was supposed to be with the other one, not with this one. It's like, oh, okay. it is really fascinating to me how people will try to use spirituality and healing to explain away things that are much more at the personal and emotional levels. You know, if she had actually said flat out to me at any point in time, I would like to go out with you, I would have been able to say, no, I'm not interested. And that would have been that. But because she had this picture in her mind that she was living. And she was using her spiritual tools of dowsing, because she doused on everything. She was checking in as often as she could to try and find out what was the truth. But her own beliefs, and this is true of all of us, our own beliefs will get in the way of the information, first of all, that we receive, but secondly, how we interpret it. And just because we receive something does not mean automatically that it is true. Our filters are in the way. And that's one of the things that I learned in multiple places through the dowsing. After that, I went to a couple dowsing conventions, etc. And your emotional body can interfere with receiving guidance no matter how you use it. A pendulum is just one tool. It doesn't matter whether you go get a tarot reading or have a psychic reading or go see a channel or tune in yourself or use runes or whatever other tool it might be. You need to keep doing the work. We need to keep doing the work, clearing out our own beliefs, examining our own beliefs, looking at, well, what is it? What is it that I believe in this circumstance? And is it actually true? Because that's what we're trying to do, is get to the ultimate truth. And we're not there yet, because we're not living as divinity yet. And so that ultimately is the process that we're going through, is this exploration of, well, what's the next thing that I thought was true that's not? What's the next thing that I believed that is still a limitation in some way? And exploring that. And how do we know where to find those things? In the moments of discomfort, in the moments where we have a desire and it's being thwarted, in the moments when an obstacle shows up in the way of what we're trying to create, what we're trying to do. And that's when we're given the opportunity to look at another belief, to explore it, to expand it, or to shatter it, to release it, to do whatever we need to do to get underneath it to the next piece. Wow. And once more, time has just flown by. Not that we're ready to finish the show just yet, but that's a pretty good stopping point for here. And I guess I will be continuing again, since I didn't even get to channeling. this part will continue on next week. But yeah, so that means it is transformation time. And before I go there, I do want to mention something that is happening starting August 1st, and it will be from August 1st through the 7th. For those of you who listened a few weeks ago, actually over a month ago now, when I had Marilyn Harper on the show, and I talked to the show before that about walk-ins, and I think I've mentioned it since. In October, I will be going and presenting at a conference that Marilyn is organizing about the walk-in experience. It is also about those who are galactics or aliens, if you feel like you're not from around here, or if you've gone through a major transformation in your life. This conference could well be for you. Well, that's in October. But from the 1st through the 7th, there is going to be what she's calling a telesummit. Telesummit? Maybe not. It's a web-a-summit. It's going to be a series of webinars, and it's going to be for an hour. It's at 7 p.m., but I'm not sure if that's Eastern or Central time. 7 p.m. each night for an hour, and each night she's going to talk with and interview one of us who is a presenter on the show. And to listen, it's completely free. If you're interested, I will be sending out a link to it. If you're already on my emailing list, if you're not on my list, contact me and I can get the information out to you. But we'd love to have you join us. There'll be a lot of good information. As I've said before in talking about this, I know most of the presenters, and the ones that I know are very, very good. In fact, you've heard Leandra, you've heard BJ, you've heard Marilyn. Those are three of the other presenters. If you've been listening to this show in an ongoing way. Anyway, just wanted to put that out there. So now it is transformation time, time to go in and have a little bit of channeling, whatever that might be this week. So if you would just allow yourself to take a couple of deep breaths, I will do the toning and we will have our special guests. So send you. Dear ones, this is Melchizedek with Metatron come to be with you today. We do not have much to say, but we do have much to offer. So what we are going to do is open a door. Open a door for each one of you within your heart to allow yourself to have expanded access to your own soul essence energy. And so this will not take long in linear time, but allow yourselves to breathe in and go in the heart center if you choose to participate in this. Allow the breathing to be deep and consciously choose to accept this opening, to accept the expansion into the connection to your own soul essence. As you do so, we are going to open this and it will feel, well, it may feel in many ways, but for many of you, it will feel almost as if you are stepping into a cave. It's like the air will be cooler in there, but it is going to be a flow of energy coming up to you, and it will be coming up as if from below if you're paying attention to spatial relations. So just allow yourself to breathe this in. If you will, allow yourself to breathe yourself up. And just allow your breath to deepen, to be easy, as you allow this extra essence of self to integrate through your energy field. This was not an opening that, oh yes, you can go through. This was an opening that was set in place. This was an exchange energetically that was set in motion that will go on, that will continue from this point forward. And so, thank yourself at this time. Thank yourself for choosing that opening. Thank yourself for choosing that expansion. Thank yourself for choosing to be here, to be prepared for this. For this. So, know each and every one of you that you are dearly loved by many, whether you know them in body or not. And we are, and bring our love to you now and always. Namaste, dear ones. Okay. Thank you, Melchizedek and Metatron. And Dog, you can go ahead and start the chimes. And I'd like to thank each one of you out there listening for joining me again today to co-create this time together. I could not do this without you, and I mean that on multiple levels. So one of those, let me know what you think. Give me the feedback. Give me your suggestions. Give me your options for future guests and topics. I will be back the same time next week, same place. I hope you'll join me again out there in the truth within. Remember, you never know where this show will go, and you never know where you're going to go. The next moment, the next moment, the next moment. New choices. I hope you'll choose to expand yourself, expose yourself, share yourself a little more fully this week. And I wish you all the highest blessings and the greatest happiness. Namaste.